Let's open our Bibles together to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis, chapter 1, and I'm going to read and preach verses 14 through 19 this morning, day 4 of the creation week. We've already seen how God made light on day 1, and the sky on day 2, and the seas and the dry land on day 3. And how he began to fill those realms by making vegetation on the dry land on day 3. And this morning, we'll see how he continues that work by filling the sky with the sun, the moon, and the stars on day 4. But as interesting as all of that is, and I trust will be to us this morning, let's remember together that the whole point of it is that we would learn to praise God in our hearts and to trust him and to obey him in our lives. So let's pause and we'll ask him to help us to respond to his word in those ways. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us this portion of your word. And we pray that you would enable us to understand it as we hear it preached this morning. And also enable us to respond to it by praising you and trusting you and obeying you in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, reading down through verse 19. These are the words of the one true God. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. So we're told that on the fourth day, God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. And as we consider that together this morning, there are two main things that I want you to notice in these verses that are before us. And the first is this. We should notice, we should contemplate the obvious truth, but the wonderful truth, that it is God who made the sun, the moon, and the stars. God made them. They are his handiwork. They are the fruit and the work of his fingers. They were made by him and by him alone. An obvious truth, perhaps, at least for those of us who are Christians who believe the Bible is true, but a wonderful truth nonetheless, and one that is worthy of our humble contemplation this morning and always. Look again at verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens." And then at the end of verse 15, we find the familiar echo, "And it was so." Verse 16, "And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth," etc. God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. They are his creatures, his creations. There's no such thing as a sun god, or a moon god, or star gods. There's just God and the sun, moon, and stars that he made. the lights in the heavens are just lights. They're pretty amazing lights, no doubt, but they're just lights. They're not divine beings. They are the handiwork of the only divine being there is, the Lord God himself. Psalm 136 tells us how to respond to this great truth that we're considering. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever." So we should give thanks to the Lord for making the great lights. Have you ever thanked God for making the sun? You know, I bet that's what the birds are doing when they sing at sunrise, thanking God in their own little creaturely way for causing the sun to rise again. We should be more like the birds, I think, and give thanks to God each morning for making the sun, and also each evening for making the moon and the stars. We should also thank God for making the sun, moon, and stars for our benefit. That's what the psalmist does in Psalm 8 when he says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" We are as tiny as can be in this vast universe God has made. And yet God cares for us. God is mindful of us. And he made the universe for our benefit. We see that actually in the way these verses describe the creation of the stars. Actually, these verses do not describe the creation of the stars. It's only a single verse. And it's not even the whole verse. It's just a short phrase at the end of a verse, at the end of verse 16. It simply says, "and the stars." That's it. Just three words to describe the creation of a quantity of stars that surpasses the number of the grains of sand on all the beaches and all the deserts in all the world combined. And do you know why there's only three words given to describe the creation of so many stars? It's because this creation account is not about the stars. It's about God creating a world for our benefit. It's about God making a home for us, for his image bearers. See, we are tiny compared to all those stars. But those stars are tiny in this creation account. Just three words, because they were made for us, so that we could see and enjoy the majesty of God in them. That's why after Psalm 8 says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" It then goes on to say, "Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." What a world God made for us, for our benefit, for our enjoyment of him. God made the sun, moon, and stars, and therefore the sun, moon, and stars tell us something about God. They tell us that he is powerful. Only an unthinkably powerful God could make something as powerful as the sun that can burn our skin if we forget our suntan lotion from 93 million miles away. They tell us also that God is beautiful. Only a God beautiful beyond our imagination could make something like the Milky Way or the Orion Nebula or the Butterfly Nebula. They tell us also that God is faithful. They tell us that God is wise. They tell us that God is kind. They tell us that God is good. As we sing together in the hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness," sun, moon, and stars in their courses above join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. The sun, moon, and stars also tell us very plainly that God exists. Pastor R. Kent Hughes tells a story about the 17th century mathematician and philosopher Sir Isaac Newton, who, he writes, had a mechanical replica of our solar system made in miniature. At its center was a large golden ball representing the sun, and revolving around it were smaller spheres attached at the ends of rods of varying lengths. They represented Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, and the other planets. These were all geared together by cogs and belts to make them move around the sun in perfect harmony. One day, as Newton was studying the model, an unbelieving friend stopped by for a visit. Marveling at the device and watching as the scientist made the heavenly bodies move in their orbits, the man exclaimed, "Mr. Newton, my, what an exquisite thing. Who made it for you?" Without looking up, Sir Isaac replied, "Nobody." "Nobody?" his friend asked. "That's right, I said nobody. All of these balls and cogs and belts and gears just happened to come together. And wonder of wonders, by chance, they began revolving in their set orbits and with perfect timing." His friend undoubtedly got the point. The existence of Newton's machine presupposed a maker, and even more so, the Earth and its perfectly ordered solar system. So if you're here this morning as someone who does not believe in creation, who does not believe that the God of the Bible made all things, let me encourage you to consider Newton's challenge to his friend. And to consider the fact that right now you're living in a solar system that is perfectly ordered and in a world that is carefully constructed and in a body that is intricately designed. I encourage you to ponder the implications of all of that on your view of how all of this came to be. Feel free to come talk to me afterwards. I'd love to interact with you about your questions and your thoughts. God made the sun, moon, and stars. That's the first thing I want you to notice from these verses. The second thing I want you to notice is what he made them for, or what he made them to do. And he made them to do three things. You can see them there in verses 14 and 15. "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night." That's the first one. "And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." That's the second one. "And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." That's the third one. So let's look at each of those in turn. First, God made the sun, moon, and stars to separate the day from the night. Now, perhaps the first thing that comes to mind when we read that is, didn't God already do that on day one? Look back at verse 3. "And God said, let there be light And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God separated the light from the darkness on day one. And he called the light day and the darkness night. So how are we to understand verse 14 where it says that he made the lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night? Because of what God did on day one, we already have light and we already have darkness and we already have them separated and we already have the light being called day and the darkness being called night. So what's being added here on day four? Well, what's being added is the means by which God would give light for all time. These celestial bodies that he fills the heavens with. Which begs the question that's perhaps coming into your mind. What was the means by which God gave light on days 1, 2, and 3 then? And the answer to that question is another, I don't know. And the reason the answer is, I don't know, is because I'm not told. You don't know either, because you're not told. The Bible doesn't say precisely what means God used to give light on days 1 through 3 before he made the sun on day 4. We don't know how he did it, but we do know that he did it. Since it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. It doesn't say which light there was, but it does say there was light. And so we say, amen. How could there be light before the sun? Well, it's because God is light. The Bible doesn't say the sun is light. It says God is light. So God can give light without the sun. The sun gets its light from God. So even if there's no sun, there can still be light because there's still God. God doesn't need the sun in order to give light. He uses the sun to give light, but he doesn't need the sun. He didn't need it here at the beginning on days 1 through 3, and he won't need it at the end on the new earth, as it says in Revelation 22:5. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. The sun is a creature. It is a tool in the hand of the Creator who has chosen to use it for now to give light to the rest of his creatures and to separate the day from the night. Kids, do you know how big the sun is? Do you know how big the sun is? Well, Earth is pretty big, right? Planet that we're on right now. Earth is pretty big. I mean, this is a big planet God made for us to live on. Lots of countries, lots of continents, lots of oceans, and it's 25,000 miles all the way around. That's pretty big. Well, the sun is even bigger. In fact, it's much bigger. In fact, it's so much bigger that you could fit a million Earths inside the sun. A million Earths inside the sun. Kind of like if Earth was the size of your fist, if you hold up your fist and look at your fist. If Earth was the size of your fist, the sun would be the size of this whole room that we sit in. That's how big our God is. He made that sun. And since he's that big, since he's as good as he is big, kids, you can trust him and obey him and follow him with your life. So God made the sun, moon, and stars first to separate the day from the night. Secondly, though, he made them to be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. What does that mean? Well, there's some ambiguity here, but essentially it means that they help us mark the passage of time. They are signs that help us mark our days and our years. Our days by the rising of the sun, and our years by the regular movement of the sun and the stars across the sky. And they also help us mark our seasons, probably a reference to summer, fall, winter, and spring. God is a God of order, and he has made an orderly universe to reflect his orderliness and to provide order and structure to our lives. Our lives do not consist of a random, disorderly, confusing sequence of moments. Rather, they consist of days and seasons and years that are fixed and orderly. Psalm 104, 19 through 24 says, "He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures." You know, when you think about it, there's a lot going on up there in the sky that we can't see or that we don't even think about. But it's still going on because God is making it happen. It's the same in our lives under God's providence. There's a lot going on in our hearts and in our lives that we can't see and that we don't even think about. But it's still going on because God is making it happen. Third, God made the sun, moon, and stars to give light upon the earth. Look again at verse 15. "And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night." This idea of ruling over the day and ruling over the night is interesting how it's put. Of course, they don't rule over the day and the night like God rules over the day and the night. They rule over the day and the night in the sense that they give light during the day and during the night. The greater light of the sun during the day and the lesser light of the moon during the night. Listen to what Matthew Henry said about the moon being a lesser light. He says, "The moon is a less light, and yet it is here reckoned one of the greater lights, because though in regard to its magnitude and borrowed light it is inferior to many of the stars, yet by virtue of its office as ruler of the night, and in respect of its usefulness to the earth, it is more excellent than they." And then he says, thinking of us, "Those are most valuable that are most serviceable. And those are the greater lights, not that have the best gifts, but that humbly and faithfully do the most good with them. The best and most honorable way of ruling is by giving light and doing good. Those command respect that live a useful life and so shine as lights." The two great lights were made by God to give light upon the earth, the sun by day and the moon by night. You know, the sun is just right for us. Perhaps you've considered this before. It's 93 million miles away, just hard to grasp that distance. But that is the exact right distance for it to give light upon the earth. If it were just a little closer, we'd get singed. If it were just a little farther away, we'd all freeze. But it's just right, put in its place by the hand of our God. Speaking of things being just right, I hope you got to watch the eclipse recently. We enjoyed watching it together as a family, but we had only one pair of those special glasses you have to wear, and so we were doing a lot of passing them around. Perhaps you did that. But it's just amazing to see the sun and the moon coming together like that. And one of the things that struck me about the whole eclipse event was actually a video that I watched the next day that showed different people's reactions to the total eclipse. So news broadcasts from places where you could see the total eclipse. And people were clapping, people were cheering. One reporter was getting all choked up, and she said her legs were shaking uncontrollably. And it was so striking to watch all these people responding so deeply to this amazing display of God's handiwork. The glory and the beauty and the grandeur of creation is unmistakable and is a clear and compelling witness to the glory and beauty and grandeur of God. People don't see it that way often because they're spiritually blind, but they are moved because God's glory is unmistakably moving. But mankind is blind to the true glory of God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 that Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But then he goes on to say, as we've considered before, that God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Unbelievers are unable to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ until God shines the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ into their hearts, so that they can repent and believe in Christ. That's what we should be praying for our neighbors, our co-workers, our family members who are unsaved, that God would say, "Let there be light," in their hearts, so that they would come to Christ. Why did God give us light? Four reasons, at least, and we'll close with these. Four reasons. First, God gave us light so we could see his handiwork. He didn't make all things so they could just sit there in the dark. He made all things and gave us light so we could see them all and give him the praise and glory he deserves. God made light so we could see his handiwork. Second, God made the light so we could use the light to serve him. He didn't make the light so we could use it to serve ourselves, which would be to abuse it and misuse it. Rather, he made it so we could use it to serve him. Sarah Edwards, wife of Jonathan Edwards, once wrote, "How good it is to work for God in the daytime and at night to lie down under his smiles." That should be our goal for how to use the light that God gives us each day and each night. To work for God in the daytime and at night to lie down under his smiles. Not to use the light to serve ourselves, but to use the light to serve him. Third reason God made the light was so that we could understand more of who he is, more of what he is like, since he himself is light. God is light, says 1 John 1:5, and in him is no darkness at all. So the beauty of the morning sun, the warmth of its rays, the brightness and purity of its light, the soft glow of the moon, the twinkling of the stars, all declare to us the glory of God. Of course, we need to read the Bible. We need to understand the Bible in order to see the glory of God in the light he made. We need to use special revelation to see general revelation rightly. But with the glasses of Scripture on, with our vision corrected, we are able to see and understand more of who God is by seeing and contemplating the light he has made. Fourth and final reason God made the sun, moon, and stars to give light upon the earth was so that we could understand and appreciate his power. The human race has figured out how to make some pretty powerful stuff, but nothing even remotely close to the power of the sun. The sun is, they say, about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface and multiple millions of degrees hot at its core. And every second, it produces enough energy to run 1 billion major cities for an entire year. Somehow somebody calculated that. That's pretty powerful. But the power of the sun pales in comparison to the power of God. God is all powerful, almighty. And when we see how powerful the sun is that he made, when we think about how powerful the sun is, it helps us to understand and appreciate how powerful God is. And the wonderful thing about that for us as God's people is that his power, his strength, is available to us at all times through Christ our Redeemer. Paul prays in Colossians 1, "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy." Do you need endurance in the midst of what you're going through? Do you need more patience towards your kids? Do you need more joy in your work? The God who made the sun is able to strengthen you with all power for all endurance and patience with joy. We read in Ephesians 1 about the immeasurable greatness of God's power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. And Paul prays that according to the riches of God's glory, he would grant us to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being. And he urges us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So, what do you need strength for today? What do you need strength for in the week ahead? Remember that the God who made the sun is your source of strength. Let's pray. Our great God, we praise you and thank you for making the sun, moon, and stars. and for how they display your glory and your power, and for how they remind us that that same power is available to us through Christ. Help us today and this week to look to you as the source of our strength. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.